Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Today we have with us renowned dream analyst, Lainey Dolphin. She believes that all dreams are great, even nightmares. She is the author of a two-book set. Book one is called The Overview, and book two is called A Deeper Discussion. She has a 45-year deep background in dream study on the works of Freud, Jung, Perls, and Adler. Lainey shows the process that enables you to understand what your subconscious is trying to reveal to you while you sleep, how that applies directly to some issue that is stressing you, and then the way to use the information presented therein to find the solution. Lainey Dolphin came to her work after entering Freudian psychoanalysis for depression resulting from giving birth to a daughter suffering from Down syndrome, and subsequently being advised to give her up into the care of others. She continues to be an active member at the International Association for the Study of Dreams. This is going to be such a fun show, so we're going to get started. Let me introduce you. Good morning, Lainey.
Hi, Randy. Thank you for inviting me.
You are very welcome, and thank you for being my guest. So, how telling are dreams? What are
they? They are very telling, and that's why I call the books Have a Great Dream, because all dreams are great. And, in fact, we are problem-solving in our dreams. And so I'm a person who loves going deep, no question about that. But before I go deep, I'm a first things first kind of girl. And at the first level, the dream is the conversation that you are having with yourself about a very specific current issue that's bugging you this week. And the amazing news is that the solution to something that's bothering you, of course, it arrives in your unconscious before it gets to your conscious mind. So if only you could understand what the heck you're trying to say to yourself, then you can propel your problem-solving skills. And that's kind of where I come in, because I teach you to ask a series of questions to the dreamer based on the theories of those four fathers of psychology. I'll ask a series of interview questions, and the dreamer tells me what the dream is about, because I'm always looking. The first goal is to help the dreamer say what situation this week triggered this morning's dream. And you get it by answering the series of questions that I teach you to ask yourself.
Okay. We're having a little bit of a sound quality issue. Your sound is a little bit staccato, like broken up. So are you on a cell phone or a landline?
No, I'm on a landline.
Okay.
Can you hear me better now?
I can. Yes, I can.
Yeah, okay, so I'll just keep my head in the same position where it is.
Okay, great. Okay, because I want to make sure every word you say is heard. So does it matter if we dream in color or if we remember the color of our dream? The colors in our dream, I should say.
If you remember a color and it's part of what you say when you're describing the dream, then I'm going to end up asking you what comes to your mind when you think about that color, and I'll tell you why. You can hear me properly now, can you?
Yes, very well, thank you.
And so when, you know, every single memory and association that you've ever had since you're born is being uniquely collected in our very sophisticated unconscious mind. I call it a database, or for those of us who are over 50, I call it a filing cabinet. And so when you want to say something to yourself about something that's bothering you this week and something you're trying to problem solve, the language that you use, your database or your filing cabinet opens up, and you use language that is specifically yours. It's as unique to you as your fingerprint, because exactly what you think about a cat or your associations to a cat, or exactly what you think about the color blue and the feelings that are associated or the memories that are associated, can only be unique to each dreamer. So it's always a matter of why is the dreamer using that metaphor today? Why? And the only way you can get the answer is by interviewing the dreamer.
Okay. Why do we remember some dreams and not remember all of them?
Well, there is a memory trace in your frontal lobe that's not operating at the same capacity when you're asleep as when you're awake. And so there's a physiological reason why you don't remember. But typically, we are self-regulating organisms. And so whatever it is that we are underreacting to in our waking life, the dream is going to overreact. And that's the overreaction. Could be a nightmare. It could be a recurring dream. But the point is that we human beings are, in our conscious life, we are adept at lying, sweeping, avoiding, denying. It's part of the human condition. I call it like welcome to the human race, because all of us do that consciously, but your unconscious never lies to you. And so if somebody hurts your feelings, for example, and during the day you're saying, that didn't even bother me. I know, that person didn't really mean it, or whatever excuse you might make to brush aside your real feelings, we push them away, and then it has to come out. It's like not any different than if you have to go to the washroom. You can hold it in, hold it in, hold it in, and at a certain point, it has to come out. And so our feelings operate exactly the same way. You can hold them in, and if you don't let them out, I promise you, you're going to get a dream that you remember, because that will be your healthy unconscious getting your attention as well as it should. So, for example, the woman who is jumping out of her chair, she wakes up as she's jumping out of her chair, which is in flames, was her healthy unconscious giving her that push she needed to stop procrastinating. And so the issue was the procrastination, and the dream provided literally a rehearsal to get up and out.
that we remember our dreams in order to work through an issue?
Well, you know, let me give you an example, because if you want to quit that job, you're going to quit that job anyway, whether you remember your dreams or you don't. But if you remember your dreams, it's going to happen faster. Like one woman dreamt that she had a brand new puppy, and she had the puppy up on the table in front of her, and she was just so excited about this new puppy, and all of a sudden it pooed all over the table and all over her. And because I'm always looking for solutions to an issue, and we found this, by the way, through a feelings point of entry, because there's 6 points of entry that I talk about in my book, The Overview. And the first one is the feelings. How did you feel in the dream? And this dream started out that she felt so excited about the new puppy, and there was a click, a difference that suddenly went in another direction. And by asking her what happened recently that started out so happy and suddenly has taken this kind of turn about your feelings, and it turned out to be about her job. That was a brand new job that, just like the puppy, that she was all excited about. And after she worked there for about a week, she discovered that her boss is a really abusive guy, and he was literally pooing all over her. So she's using that expression. I'm saying it in a nice way, but yes, we all know what the expression is about how she was being treated. So she would have quit that job anyway, but what I did for the solution finding is I asked her, because this is one method you can use, take the dream out into waking life as if it's really happening. And I asked her, if you really had a new puppy and it really made all over the table, what would you do? And she said, I would absolutely take it off the table. That's the first thing I would do. I'd take it off the table and I'd clean it up. And so, you know that expression, it's this thing is off the table. It's not up, like meaning that it's not up for discussion. And so she heard herself say that and quit the job. And so maybe if she didn't remember the dream, she would have quit her job anyway, definitely, because she was going in that direction. But, you know, she quit it faster because she caught the dream.
Very interesting. I had a recurring dream that went on for 40-some years.
Wow.
It was very, very symbolic. And when I went into therapy and worked through the issues that the dream was about, they stopped.
That's great. I love that. And that's exactly how it goes. And dreams that happen that recur over a period of 40 years, because there's 2 different kinds of recurring dreams. One is you could have said to me, I had that dream 7 times in the last 3 weeks. And if you say that to me, that is the same thing as a nightmare. That's your unconscious trying to get your attention and succeeding, because you're saying, oh, wow, I keep having that same dream. But when you've had it over a period of 40 years, that's called a favorite expression. So if my favorite expression is, oh, darn it, I could have said, oh, darn it, 50 years ago because I missed the bus. And I could have said, oh, darn it, you know, 2 years ago because I brushed papers off my desk when I walked by. And I could have said, oh, darn it, about 20 minutes ago when you said to me that the sound wasn't coming through. So I'm saying, oh, darn it, oh, darn it, oh, darn it, but it's over a period of years for completely different reasons. So whatever the images were in that dream that you were having over a period of 40 years, that was you saying something to yourself with those images. And obviously when the matter resolved itself, where the images began, you resolved. And so once you figure out what the favorite expression is, it doesn't come back. It's so amazing that that happens.
It is amazing. Wow. That's so cool. So tell us about your books and how they're called Have a Great Dream. That's the name of the book, and then there's a series, right? There's two, The Overview and A Deeper Discussion. What's the difference between the books?
Well, my daughters run all the way from 45 down to 25. And part of the reason that the smaller book happened was because the bigger book is like 350 pages. And in honor of the youngest daughter, who says, "Can't you just tell us how to do it in a shorter period of time?" And so I think that's part of what inspired me to write like the 100-page book, and that's like including the pictures, and it tells you the overview of where I'm coming from and why you would want to analyze your dreams and propel your problem-solving skills. And if you want to have a deeper discussion about going deeper into the dream and the life changes that we can make, then you would want to get the book two, which is A Deeper Discussion. And if we have time, I could just tell you very quickly why you would want to go deeper.
Yeah. Let's
Well, let's go deep for a minute. We come into the world whole. We arrive with a plethora of potential. So we come in, we can be selfish, giving, shy, assertive, a hero, a chicken. Maybe you're an initiator. Maybe you're always on the receiving end. And maybe you were the comedian in the family. Maybe you're a more serious person. And the people that bring us up teach us that it's better to be one way than another way. So, for example, if you were brought up in a home with siblings, you probably got the message that it's not okay to be selfish, because you hear sentences like, "Go share your toys with your brother. Go look after your sister." And your whole life experience is sharing your parents' attention. So you get what I call over-exercised in sharing and under-exercised in taking care of yourself. And sometimes as adults, the way that manifests itself sometimes is those are the people that you and I know, including myself, who have trouble saying no to people. They're always saying yes because they're over-exercised in accommodating. So I know a fellow, just to give you an example, who's dreaming that he's climbing up a ladder, and there's paper everywhere, all around the ladder, blocking the steps, and up at the top of the steps is his college roommate, who he has not even seen in 25 years, encouraging him up the ladder. And the reason the dreamer had that dream was because friends of his asked him to go and see a movie, and he said yes, when really he wanted to say no, because he's got paper all over his desk, and he wants to do his work, but he's an accommodator. And so he goes to sleep and dreams about his college roommate, and using a symbol's point of entry, this is the way I entered the dream, not by way of the feelings like I did with the other dreamer, but in this case I entered by symbols, using a symbol, asking the dreamer very quickly, what are the first two or three things that come to your mind about that college roommate? What kind of personality was he? And his first response was, he was a real selfish, take care of me first kind of guy. So that is the part of the dreamer's personality that is under-exercised. Carl Jung would have called it your shadow. So he needs to access, because that's who's encouraging him up the ladder, he needs to access that under-exercised aspect of himself. And I'm not here to tell you that change is easy, as I bet you already know, but I am here to tell you that change is possible, because the dreamer understood the metaphor. He woke up and understood that his roommate is the solution to the issue. He picked up the phone the next day and told his friends, "I'm sorry, I thought about it, and I'm not going to join you for a movie because I need to be with all that paper on my desk."
That's amazing.
Yeah, so that's another example of what a solution looks like when it comes in the form of a metaphor. And you would want to do that because all of us are walking around with our overexercised knee-jerk reactions to people and situations. And the thing is, life throws you so many different life situations that don't always call for that same knee-jerk, boring, over-exercised response. And you want to fill your grab bag with a series of, you know, new responses that you can exercise. It's not any different than exercising a muscle. That dreamer stepping out to say what he really feels and taking care of himself, that was his first time in the gym. And the next time he has to respond in a more honest way, then it'll be a little bit easier because he's strengthening that new muscle about sometimes being accommodating and sometimes not, depending where it fits.
Interesting. So there are other kind of dreams too. There are prophetic dreams. And there are also dreams where we contact, you know, we have contact with loved ones who have passed.
Right.
What do you say about those kind of dreams?
Well, because I look at dreams from a psychological perspective and to help dreamers understand the language of metaphor, that's really what I do. But I also happen to be a spiritual person. And so if I dream about my father before I go away on a business trip, my father represents that male business side of myself, and I may dream about him because I need to access that aspect of my personality to get on the plane and leave my husband and the kids and the grandchildren. So that's why I would say that he appears in the dream. But how do you and I know that my father's also not visiting me? I bet you he is. And so I think that we're very sophisticated. We absolutely have ESP, 100%. And so because your unconscious is picking up all kinds of things that you don't realize that you're not picking up consciously, but your unconscious is definitely picking things up. So that woman who's dreaming that her teeth are falling out, and it's making her feel like insecure, she's got and her associations are that teeth falling out is something that's inevitable and something that she has no control over, which is true, because when we're 7 or 8, all of us lose our teeth, and it is inevitable, and it's not something that we have any control over. And so she's having that dream because somewhere inside her, she knows that her marriage is coming to an end. So she's not facing it in waking life, but her unconscious knows. We know. And that's kind of what happens many times. Prophetic dreams are not necessarily prophetic. Sometimes there's stuff you're picking up that you're just not looking at. But other times we really do have ESP. And I think that we are problem solving, and that people that we love who have passed on may be visiting us as well, at the same time as we are also problem solving. And so I'm looking at the problem solving aspect. And I also believe that I also believe we are multitasking, and we are so sophisticated after 45 years, I say with complete confidence, there's a lot going on there. Lots.
Yeah, I mean, the dreams that I've had where I've been visited are extremely different. The way that I can tell the difference is that I remember them as vivid 10 years from that day or that dream as I did the night I had it. It stays vivid with me. And so that's how I distinguish the difference between a visit and a, and something I'm just dreaming.
And I would propose that both are happening, that the person who visits you, it's not by accident that you need to access some part of that person's behavior or personality. And so, for example, I might dream about my mom during a time where maybe I'm not being that nice to myself. And she comes there because I need to be nurturing myself in the way that she would give that to me. You see what I mean?
Got it. Yeah, I can see where that would be true. So you talked about the teeth falling out. Another common dream, I guess, is the naked dream. There's the one where you find yourself taking a test and you're completely unprepared for it. Are these common things that you hear a lot from people?
Yes, I do hear them a lot. But again,
You're breaking up again.
Can you hear me now?
No, it's still breaking up.
Oh, wow. What a disappointment. Is this a little better?
It's still sounding a little funny. I don't know. All right, well.
I don't know what to do.
All right. You know, sometimes it comes through like that to me, and it doesn't come through like that on the show, so it could be okay. I don't know. There's no way for me to tell until I listen to it afterwards, but okay, let's just keep going.
Well, can you hear me now?
It's the same, but I can hear you.
Uh-huh.
I can hear what you're saying. It's just like, it's like fluttery, kind of. But it's okay.
Uh-huh.
There it is. You're better.
I'm better, yeah?
Yes.
I was going to say that it's still problem dreamer centered. So if I'm dreaming, for example, about having a test that I know the information about, and yet I dream that I can't find my books, or I can't find the room, or those kind of dreams that you're talking about. Maybe I know that there's one daughter, for example, if I'm having an issue with that daughter, I consider myself after 45 years that I've studied or experienced parenting. So I would feel like I know that course, or I've passed that course, or I've done my studying about parenting, right? Because I've been doing it for 45 years. But sometimes with a situation with one of the daughters, I feel like I'm arriving at the exam and I haven't got the information and I'm not sure I'm going to pass the test, or I'm not sure what approach I'm going to take. And that would inspire or trigger that kind of dream where you think you know the information, but you're not really sure about how to approach a situation. So you dream that you're having an exam and you feel unprepared.
Okay, usually I find myself, all of a sudden I'm back in school and there's an exam, and I'm like, where have I been? Why haven't I been here? So, but yeah.
And you want to take that feeling of where have I been? Like, what is this? And then you want to look at your waking life this week and say, what situation is making me feel so unprepared? Something, or what am I feeling tested about? Or, you know, like those kind of questions are what you want to ask yourself.
Right. So there's no, you know, when people have these dream decoding books, there's no exact way to know exactly what it is. It's really based on what you have been experiencing. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, and the experiences that you've had and your own associations. So, for example, if I'm aggravated with my husband, Andy, when my filing cabinet or database opens up, he is interchangeable with every single boyfriend I ever had, even though he's my husband. And my father and my brother are in the same file because they are both male family members. And so you want to be looking not so much in a literal way. You don't want to look at your dreams in a literal way because, you know, you're not necessarily dreaming about the person that's in the dream. You want to connect with the feelings, the action in the dream. Sometimes I'll hear a person say, I was running, but my feet wouldn't move. And that's an action point of entry where I might ask the dreamer, you know, is there some situation in your life that you're trying to run away from? And is the dream giving you the message that, it giving you the rehearsal to not run, to stay still?
Wow.
You know, or is it trying to inspire you to speak up, to say that you don't want to be a part of whatever it is that's going on, you know?
Right, or right, if you find yourself trying to scream and you can't, nothing comes out, then, right, that would
yes,
be kind of like
now you, exactly, I love it. So I know you're getting me. And then there's the play on words and puns, because the same way as we use that in waking life, we use it in our dreams constantly. So if I say to one of my kids, if this is the language, if I say, I was so embarrassed, I thought I was going to die. If you talk like that, you might go to sleep tonight and dream that you're dying, and it's not that you're dying. It's that you're processing the incident that you felt so embarrassed about. Or I'll hear a dreamer say, I was trying to go to the washroom, and I found a bathroom, and I went into the stall, and I got stuck in the stall. I couldn't get out. And then I'm going to ask the dreamer, using the pun, well, is there something going on in your life that you're stalling about? What are you stuck in a stall about?
Wow. Interesting.
I love the play on words and puns. I love that. That's my favorite point of entry. And the other thing is, when you go to sleep, your unconscious prioritizes one thing that's bugging you. So your dreams are not about 17 issues. We're only working on one thing at a time, basically.
Okay.
And we repeat. So the first time I was on TV years ago, when I was going to go to New York after the Christmas holidays, and I was so frightened because I'm more a radio personality and I hadn't been on TV before. And at the beginning of one of the nights, I dreamt about a ghost. And what does that mean? It means I'm scared. And later on, I dreamt I was standing on the abyss of a cliff. And what does that mean? It means I'm scared. And closer to the morning, I dreamt about my grade 5 teacher. And what does that mean? It means I'm scared. So I'm saying, I'm scared, I'm scared, I'm scared. But you're using different images that in your filing cabinet mean the same thing. And that's why those dictionaries that you buy, they don't work, because you need to access what does that.
So impressed with the unconscious mind. It's fascinating that it is that creative.
And it's me too. And it's so funny, Randy, because that's the reason why I'm compelled to bring the information out to the general public, because you wake up every morning with the best therapist right in your own bed, right in your own bed and right in your own head. If only you could decode what you're saying to yourself.
It's truly amazing how we create movies around issues. Our unconscious mind does create movies over out of our issues, and we watch them play out. It's fascinating. I love the mind. I absolutely love everything about
me too. I just love it, and we create these different plots and scenarios in the dream using these different parts of ourself, because what we usually happens is you take the part of the dream that you feel the most comfortable with and connected to, and you give out all the other parts of the dream to different parts of yourself that are represented by these different people, places, and things. Like, I know somebody who uses New York in a dream when he's trying to say to himself that he's busy. So he uses a city to say that to himself.
So I've heard about dream journaling. What do you think about that, you know, in order to remember dreams? Do we remember them best when we first wake up?
Yes, and you don't need to have a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. So don't judge your dream like that. One picture, as we saw with the ladder dream, you know, the one picture dreams, or the woman who's jumping out of her chair that's on fire. So a one picture dream really does say 1,000 words. And sometimes you might only get the feeling, you know, but if you leave pen and paper beside the bed and make a decision that you're going to remember something, all you need to do is just write down a couple of words before you get off the bed, though. And even if you don't remember a thing, how about lying in bed and getting in touch with, how did I feel when I woke up? How do I feel? So I've started doing these, I call them dream tidbits. They're less than 1 minute information about dreams, and you can find them if you go to the Dream Interpretation Center on Facebook. You'll see the postings, or just if you go to haveagreatdream.com and click on any of my social media, you'll start seeing these little films that help you, give you ways that you can remember your dreams, or little tidbits about dreams that you might want to know about to help you understand them better.
So, and talking about the Dream Interpretation Center, you founded that in 1997 in Montreal. And so is this where people come to see you for dream interpretation?
Yes, exactly. And I do lots of Skype and telephone, and there's even, when you go there, you can sign up for a free 5-day course where I send 5 emails over 5 days with 5 little videos and some articles, and to help you learn how to do it.
Right. And your website is haveagreatdream.com?
.com. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. Where can we get your books?
Well, kind of the same. If you go to haveagreatdream.com, there's a button you can click to buy the books, and then you have a choice of going to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever it is that you'd like to buy the book from, and it'll take you straight to the right page.
Okay. And so the first book you said is easy to comprehend, and then if we want to go deeper, really go deeper into this subject, then that's
right,
where we would use the second book. Okay.
Right, and it's a great, if you know somebody who's interested in dream analysis, and, you know, because there's so many people walking around out there who have great dream recall, and it's a really nice gift to buy as a set, like a really nice gift, because after you read the books, you'll never look at your dreams the same way again.
Yeah, I'll bet. Flying dreams. I had one, and I would love to have another flying dream. It feels
me
so
too.
Good. What are they?
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes, sometimes when things are difficult, and we kind of almost forget what it feels like to feel good, you might have a flying dream, and if it's the kind that makes you feel good, then that would be very, what I call, Adlerian, because where Freud was looking into the past, Alfred Adler was more looking into the future, and he would have said, the dream gives rise to an emotion that helps you move forward towards the goal. So sometimes you might have a flying dream because you actually forget what it feels like to feel good. And you know that expression, take that feeling and run with it? That's what you want to do when you've got a great flying dream. You want to wake up and take that feeling with you, because sometimes we get so bogged down we forget. It's like you know, I'll get people asking me about a sexual dream, and sometimes that's the function of a sexual dream as well, to remind you to take care of yourself, to make yourself feel good, you know?
Interesting. So is there something that we haven't talked about, a message or something that you want to leave us with today?
I guess the most important message these days that I think about is that, especially with this group think, you know, you're on one side or you're on the other side, and there's a lot of that out there right now. And so dream analysis is the antithesis of groupthink, because it's a very individual thing. And for every minute that you spend looking inside yourself for what you can change, which is possible because we do have the power to change ourselves, you are spending the exact same amount of time not looking out at trying to change somebody else over which you have no power anyway. And I think that's the one of the big lessons about dream analysis, is to realize how unique and individual each of us is. And we can agree on some things, but we don't have to agree on every single thing, because we really are individual. And we'd be so much better looking in to try and change something, some response, about how we respond to people, and exercising our shadows and our underinvested sides. It's so much more beneficial to ourselves and to the world and to our relationships if we can become more flexible in and more power in how you decide you want to respond to people and situations, instead of being busy trying to change somebody else.
Wow, I love that. What a great way to end the show. We are out of time, but I want to thank you so much for being my guest. This is wonderful. I learned a lot. I know that my listeners did. And it's just been great. So I wish you great success with these books. And
thank you so much, Randy.
To my listeners, you know, you can buy them as gifts. That would be a fun thing to give. Christmas and Hanukkah and all that stuff is here. So thank you, Lainey. Lainey, yes, thank you, Lainey. It's been fun.
Thank you, Randy. I agree. It's been fun.
Okay, take care. So we are out of time today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And as always, I wish you joy and serenity in your life. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.